This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. With much fanfare, Jeb Bush's brother, President George W., started a two-front war in Iraq and Afghanistan during his two terms, you may remember. The consequences of all that are still with us. The Obama administration, though, has also quietly begun a military escalation on two fronts. There are hundreds more U.S. military personnel reportedly headed back into Iraq to fight ISIS, while the Pentagon is reportedly finalizing plans to send huge amounts of military equipment to Eastern Europe to support as many as 5,000 U.S. troops. It will be the first time Washington has stationed heavy military equipment in the newer NATO member states that were once in the Soviet sphere of influence or in the Soviet Union itself, and now find themselves on the front lines of the conflict in Ukraine. Eric Schmidt wrote this story for our partner, The New York Times. Eric, what's going on here?
Well, John, what's happening is this is all part of the changes that were discussed and agreed upon at the NATO summit in Wales last summer that President Obama intended. This was basically to do two things. One is to assure allies in Europe, specifically the former Eastern European countries and the Baltics, that NATO has their back, and then also to send a signal to President Putin of Russia. So what you've been seeing is increased troop rotations, training exercises, open air patrolling. And this is the latest and perhaps most significant development that the United States is basically saying we are going to position heavy tanks, Bradley fighting vehicles, and other equipment in some of these countries, initially for training purposes, but also if and when it ever came to the point where they had to send a signal to President Putin that this is not the same situation as Ukraine or Crimea.
There are lots of reports over the weekend that the Pentagon has expressed some reluctance to escalate on the battlefield in Iraq. Is the Pentagon involved in this Eastern European NATO initiative enthusiastically, or are there some concerns there?
No, the Pentagon, at least the uniformed military, I think is very much supportive of this. They have been working very closely with the Baltic and Eastern European countries. I was just in Lithuania and Latvia last week, and those countries couldn't get enough American forces soon enough. I mean, they want permanent American troops there. That's not necessarily going to happen right now, but the Pentagon is, and Ash Carter, the defense secretary, is now considering a proposal that could be announced as early as at the NATO defense ministerial meeting in Brussels later this month that would, what they call, pre-position this equipment, that is, store this equipment in warehouses and other places in these countries so that the U.S. troops can just fly in and come right in on it.
Well, this certainly is under the obligations of the NATO treaty, and you can understand the nervousness of the Baltic countries in all of this. But it's also the case, and remind us, Eric Schmidt, this is the war that the Pentagon actually is designed to fight, this one in Eastern Europe, going back to, you know, really World War II and the Cold War. Is it possible that some of their enthusiasm is driven by the fact that this is what is on the shelf, not so much the Middle East conflicts?
Well, if it's on the shelf, John, they're having to kind of dust off the old plans, because even though senior U.S. generals and admirals may cut their teeth in Cold War planning, most of the American military has gotten used to and accustomed to the kind of campaigns that we've seen over the last 15 years in places like Iraq and Afghanistan, counterinsurgency, counterterrorism efforts. And to go back to kind of the classic Cold War deterrence kind of missions is taking a little bit of relearning and also refocusing on a new adversary. Russia is not the old Soviet Union, of course. And as you mentioned, this is a NATO. Many of these former Soviet republics, like the Baltic states, are now members of NATO. And so there's learning that's going on both sides here.
And NATO has a lot more experience, perhaps, in the Middle East and Afghanistan than it does in Eastern Europe these days. Eric Schmidt, national security correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.